This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me is Lisa and Travis. And today we're going to do something just a little bit different. Jesus talks about this. He says, you have not because you ask not. And so we're going to ask some things of Jesus today. We're going to ask some things. School is starting, and we can all say an amen to that. All the parents out there are probably excited about that. But we want to think through just a little bit of some of the things that we could pray about for students, some of the things that we can pray about for their teachers, some of the things that we can pray about for our community as they interact with that. And so we're just going to go through some things, and we're going to stop and want to encourage you as you're listening, and maybe this will prompt you to pray and to begin to pray for our schools and to pray for our kids and to pray for our teachers and pray for the administrators. And pray for those who are keeping them safe. All of those things that are a part of the school functioning and doing what it's supposed to do. One of the things that I was thinking about is when my kids were in kindergarten, they could make out words, but they couldn't read real well at that point. They knew ABCs, they knew numbers, but they couldn't read at that point. And by the end of that thing, it's like this magical, wonderful thing that teachers do. And all of a sudden, the little turkeys can read, which is actually problematic for a parent because I couldn't spell things out to my wife anymore. They knew what I was talking about. I asked her to get a Babbel app and let's see if we can take up Spanish, but she just said, no, we don't need to that. We'll just kick him out of the room so he can speak, not out of the house, just out of the room. So you guys have a couple of kids that are going into kindergarten.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got a first grader, right? He's skipping right ahead.
He's going to kindergarten. We got to go meet his teacher, okay. And he has the same teacher that his older brother going into second grade had for kindergarten. So,
okay,
at least he had some familiarity there, but he was still like just answering questions with a head nod or a head shake. So, there's some anxieties and some concerns that they have as little guys and gals going into school for the first time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This whole literacy thing is just fascinating to me. And, you know, nationwide average is 79% of U.S. adults are literate as of 2022, which is a little actually higher than I thought, but also kind of scary that 21% of the people out there who are probably
lower,
driving,
right?
can't read the signs. What was really interesting to me in the study that I read was that 54% of adults have a literacy rate below the sixth grade level. And that's an incredibly high rate of that. And literacy, actually, there's all kinds of studies out there on this. Literacy actually produces a certain amount of confidence, a certain amount of wealth also, just by being able to read and be literate in these things. They estimated in one study that the low literacy rate of America cost about $225 billion in workforce non-productivity, lost tax revenue, and crime. And so that is incredible. Like, I was like, that's an amazing amount of money that is being left on the table every year just due to people not having the ability to read. And I think it's September 8th is the International Literacy Day. And there is a critical role that is played in daily life in being able to read. And I can't read now, not because I can't read, because I am so old I can't see and I refuse to get glasses. but without the ability to read and write, families are, I think they're kind of trapped in some ways.
Oh, yeah, definitely. One of my favorite stories about literacy actually is from the words of Frederick Douglass. I don't know if you know him. He's the abolitionist, Frederick Douglass, escaped slave.
I have read a book before.
And in his narrative of the life of Frederick Douglass, he talks about how important reading was for him as a slave. And he had one of his slave owners, the wife of the house, the mistress, actually took him aside and started teaching him to read. But then when her husband, the master of the house, found out, he flipped out and he said, no, if you give them the tools to read, they will overthrow us and we will no longer have slaves. And so she quit teaching him how to read and they banned books in their house. But he then learned to read from some white kids who lived in the neighborhood, and he would pay them to teach him how to read. And he said he didn't realize that he could be free until he learned that there was a word, abolition. And once he did, it changed his life. And so not only, I mean, this is a very obvious example of how literacy changes lives, but when you know how to read, there's a whole lot that's available to you that there it wasn't before.
Yeah. So I think we're just going to spend some time and I'll just kind of lead us in a prayer for our teachers and for our students. Maybe some of them are a little bit behind in whatever grade they're in, that God would just give them blessings in being educated in literacy because of the importance of it. Not only is it important in just the world in which we live, but God gave us his very word for us to read and to know. And, you know, I love the Bible apps that read to you and all of those things, but it is so cool to be able to open the Word of God and be able to know that he's speaking it and he wrote these things down or had people write these things down that he wanted us to know and to know about him and know how this world works. And man, I want that for every kid, that they would have that ability to do that and to pursue God in that way. So I'm going to pray and then we'll talk about another topic. God, we come before you and you are the great teacher and you are the great guide and your word is something that guides our paths in our lives. And so we're thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can have the opportunity, to read it anytime that I want to and the freedom to do that. God, I pray for our kids that are going into kindergarten and all of their teachers that magically figure out how to help them to put letters together to make sounds that somehow produce this understanding and in their little brains. God, I just ask that you would just be there with them in the midst of that. I also pray for those kids who maybe are just a little bit behind and they need just a little bit more help. I pray for those aides and those other reading people that are reading, helping them to read. I just ask that you would just be with them and guide them. I also pray for the other kids who are really great readers. God, we ask that you would just continue to bless them in that, but also to make them kind to those who aren't there yet. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are some other topics that you guys are been thinking about as we think about schools?
I mean, just, you know, as I mentioned earlier, having our youngest now start kindergarten and just working with youth and students in general, I think one of the most alarming things that the trends that you've seen is this anxiety and depression and kind of mental health issues that have cropped up. And if you look at some of the reports on that, even from like the CDC, they're seeing these types of things become more and more prevalent in the lives of younger and younger people. One of the things said that I looked at, that adolescents that deal with depression or some types of those mental depressive episodes, it's like over 15%, and over 35%, I think it was, have had, you know, just sadness issues or loneliness issues.
Yeah, they're like having a major episode of depression within that. Like, yeah, I think I read something about that too, in that that 12 to 17 age group. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it starts to, you know, creep in when those things go untreated, unrecognized, and you start to see things like, you know, addictive behaviors and dangerous behaviors that they start to lash out in or reach out to kind of deal with that stuff. And, you know, we've all got kids, and that's something that's on the forefront of our minds, with just wanting them to, you know, not struggle with those things, make sure that they're getting the help that they need if they are struggling with those things, but that they also have environments where, you know, their needs emotionally are being met at home and that they've got people in their lives that can walk through them. And with school starting, I mean, they're spending 8 hours a day at school. So that's it's a big task for parents. You know, school's going though, then it's a big task that gets passed off to the teachers and the coaches and things who are spending, you know, this amount of time, hours throughout the day with 20, 30 kids at a pop. I mean, that it's hard enough as parents to know how hard it is to handle one of our kids, especially when they're going through something difficult and challenging. So that was one thing that came to my mind that I just wanted to pray for, you know, the kids and then also the teachers, the aides, the instructors, the coaches, all of them that are dealing with.
Yeah. Well, when you have anxiety or depression, it often leads to other things, and it leads to other issues, including behavioral issues. I think one study that I read on that talked about the idea that if you have anxiety or depression, over one in three students will have some type of behavioral issue that goes alongside with that. So it's not only just affecting them, it's affecting the classroom, mm-hmm. it's affecting the teachers, it's affecting the aides, it's affecting the whole school in that moment. And some of it is just that mental part of that and the kind of the mental health crisis that we have in America today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's limited to K-12, right? I mean, we have a sure. whole college mm-hmm. group here at Evangel who are also susceptible to the problems of anxiety and depression and various mental health issues. And just speaking from a college educator, higher education standpoint, mental health is the number one thing that students struggle with. It's the reason why students can't come to class. It's the reason why there are so many students who report mental health as being part of their main struggle.
They tell you that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we don't have, and tech is not alone in this. There are not enough mental health resources on campus, on our campus or other campuses to handle the influx of the students who really need help.
I'm just kind of fascinated by like how, you know, COVID has affected this, to go back to something that none of us ever want to talk about again. That isolation, really affected people. And because why? Because we're not designed that way. We're not designed to be alone. And it has affected students. I think it's probably in that, you know, if they're in 9th or 10th grade at that time when that hit, man, that was a really difficult season for them. Some of the kids that were younger, it was probably not as big of a deal. But now these kids that are going into college in that first, second, third years, or even in college, it just that disconnect from other people and their peers was, I think, really difficult on them.
Well, yeah. In a 2022 study of Minnesota schools, something like 73% of parents reported that their children could benefit from mental health counseling, and 19% say that their children have symptoms of anxiety, with 12% having a major episode of depression in the last 12 months. And that's K through 12. It's not even taking into account the students who are college students or, you know, and those are just the parents who care enough to say my kid has mental health issues and struggles. So it's a big area of darkness that, requires prayer.
Yep.
So let's just take a minute here and just pray over our students, our kids, our teachers, and everybody that's having to navigate these things. I'm sure the teachers aren't immune to it either. I mean, we as adults know that we have faced those struggles, but dear God, we just love you, Lord, and we thank you that you are a God who nothing surprises, Lord, and that you are a God who cares for your people, Lord, and you call us to be anxious in nothing, but in everything come before you in prayer and supplication. So we come before you with that, God, and we pray for the students that are entering school. God, that you would give them your peace that just surpasses all understanding. God, that when they're feeling overwhelmed and anxiety, filled with anxiety or feeling depressed, God, that you would be where they turn to. And God, we pray for the teachers and the folks that are in the school just working on the front lines with these kids. Lord, we pray that you would give them eyes to see, ears to hear, that they would see when these things crop up, and that you would give them just wisdom and understanding of how to love and care for these kids. And God, we pray for our nation as a whole, where we're seeing these things more and more prevalent. And God, we're lacking for proper support and care. And so God, we just pray that you would raise up people that have an interest in this, that have a desire to help, God, and that you would just allow them to really speak into these issues, that you would provide places to go to find and seek help, and that people would know that they're not alone, that you are a God who loves them, that you have your people that care about your people too, and that they would be able to just share your love, share your goodness. God, that you would give the doctors that are working on these things, just great wisdom and insight of how to best help and care for people. So God, we just pray for your strength. We pray for just your heart and mind to be ours as we go into the school year, and that you would give students and kids just a great protection over their minds and the worries and anxieties and depressive thoughts that come in, God, and that you would surround them with good friends, Lord, that would uphold them and keep them kind of centered in life. And we know that that can only happen through a relationship with you. So we ask that many kids and teachers and admin people, and God, that their families would just know who you are, that your love would pour into those homes and into those classrooms and into those schools so that it could pour into this community. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So other things you're thinking about?
I've been thinking about the connection of parent involvement and then the sort of big ticket cultural questions that happen in the schools, right? Your kids go to school, they interact with people whose ideas maybe differ from what's happening in your home. And there's a connection, I think, between how much parents are involved and what their children and what our kids believe and how they come to understand the world. I think that there's a lot of fear mongering and a lot of worrying about the darkness getting into our homes. And I wonder about how it is that we as parents can be involved and also direct our children towards the light in meaningful ways.
Yeah, I think parent involvement in schools with kids' education is really a leading understanding. There's all kinds, again, of studies out there on this. If parents are involved, that the kids achieve higher, they get better paying jobs. Education is one of the quickest ways to get out of poverty. I think it was Harvard professor Robert Putnam. Is that how you say his name? Putnam. And he said that if he had a choice between the school budget increasing 10% or having 10% more parent involvement, every time I would take the parents, because there's direct indicators in there that the success of the kids will grow in that. And so another professor, he was talking in the same lecture, and he was talking about how competencies have gone way down in students, and it was kind of a dark. He wasn't blaming teachers though in this, and he really was saying there's a lot of this has to do with you have to teach to what you have. And then he said not only that part of it, but it's because parents aren't engaged in this, and reading to them at an early age, all of the things that are a part of this. When there's a disengagement of even any school activity, the school kind of takes care of them for these 8 hours or 9 hours or whatever it is, and there's no interaction, the ability for those kids to achieve goes down. Mm-hmm. And so helping, I think, or praying about parents in that way is, I think, a really important thing.
Well, yeah, and our schedules often dictate our ability to be involved. And I think in some cases, it's really hard to navigate those schedule choices. And you start to think, oh, well, I mean, this goes for Christian education, biblical education, as well as, school, secular education. The degree to which the parents are involved determines the outcomes of the children's understanding of what matters and their success. And I think that we get to the place perhaps sometimes where we're willing to say, oh, the teachers have it, or oh, the school has it, or oh, the church has this covered. And I think that we as parents are called to something greater than that, significantly more involvement.
Yeah. At the church, we never take responsibility for that. We are a appendix to what the families are supposed to be doing at home. The reason for that is because that's how God designed it. You're to raise up your kids in the ways of the Lord, and they will not part from it. There's other passages of scripture that talk about this idea of whether you're rise up or whether you're lying down or whether you're walking around, be talking about and helping your kids to understand who God is. And so that comes right out of a Jewish thought, the Old Testament, but it is carried through throughout the New Testament. And so we never take the primary in that. We are really hoping that we're an appendix to that. And we want to help parents in any way that we can to do these things. And I think even in schools, you know, it probably has shifted a little bit because I don't know if I could do trigonometry anymore or any of that kind of junk.
What?
Nope.
So, but I think coming alongside your kids, coming along and helping them in any way that you can, giving them the resources that they need, asking them the questions. You know, if I just ask my kids, "Did you get your homework done?" They always tell me yes.
Little liars.
Yeah, they're little liars. Yep. Yeah. And so, you know, the school has made it pretty awesome where you can check up and if they're handing in their assignments, doing all of that stuff. So you can really check in maybe a little bit different way where we could lie to our parents. Well, Travis and I, somebody was an all-A student and it wasn't us two.
I never lie about homework.
Yeah. So, but I think, you know, just the adjustment in the home, that's the other thing I think that happens. Soon time change is going to happen. And fall back is always better than spring forward, but it's still an adjustment. The kids getting up early, the grumpiness that first week is exciting, but really tiring for them. All of those things are a part of this, and parents have to adjust to just maybe a different rhythm within the house. And so, Lisa, do you want to just pray for that and pray for parents and guidance in this school year?
Sure. Jesus, we are thankful for the children that you have placed in our homes and in our communities. God, I pray specifically for the parents that you would impress upon them the need for their involvement in their kids' lives and the need for them specifically involved in their education, that we as parents would support our teachers and our children in ways that lead to their educational success, and that we would do as we are called to train our children up in your ways. God, you are good and you are our Father, and we look to you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, there's lots of things that we could probably continue to pray about, but we could pray about for the teachers and just that they would be people of integrity and that they would continue to love the kids, even in those dark and hard days. And we will be praying for that here. Praying for safety for the kids in the schools, and we'll continue to pray for that. But for today, whatever's on your heart, we want to just encourage you to continue to pray with us as we're praying for these schools and these kids and their education. But this is good news you can use.
Thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you enjoyed our podcast or you've got a different topic or idea that you'd like us to cover, you can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous episodes, you can find those on your preferred podcast platform. Just search out Evangel Houghton, or you can always go to our website, evangelup.org.